Revo Convo, episode 59, an interview with the gentleman and lady from Tiny House Dating. All right, welcome to episode 59 of the Revo Convo. We are interviewing today with Kai and Laura. Is that, that's her name, right? No, Erica. Erica.
Erica.
You're Laura, and we're talking to Erica.
Yes.
So, hey, you know, when you get my age, you forget these things. We're talking to Kai and Erica of Tiny House Dating, and I just want to go ahead and say that I'm probably going to say their names over and over as if they're like a pair, a duo, or a couple, something like that. But just to make the correction, they are not otherwise involved. They are just partners for Tiny House Dating. So make no bones about it. They are both happy to receive suitors who are multimillionaires, who have multiple properties across the world, and possibly private jets and or yachts. So having said all that, Laura, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Drew?
I'm doing well. I'm really talking up on the mic today, and I'm not sure why, but I am. What was that? I just heard a noise. What was that?
I do not know. I have earphones on and my window's open, so it could be anything.
I'm hearing... Oh, you know what it was? It was the Jake brakes of a big rig passing by that's pulling chickens to a chicken house. Yeah, you know me. I'm like Johnny on the spot with the noises. I'm like the third Hardy Boy, the one that could hear everything, couldn't see anything, walked into holes all the time, but he could hear everything. Laura, I wanted to ask you a question. This is kind of off the... Why do I even say this anymore? Of course it's off the subject of tiny houses. Jeez.
Of course it is.
No, I wanted to ask you because I got an email about a week and a half ago, and I didn't share it with you. I've been kind of holding on to it because I thought it'd be fun to talk about on the air. So the email basically was like, hey, your podcasts suck in terms of audio engineering. You should really get some new equipment. Oh, wait a second. That was months ago. Sorry. No, this email said, your audio is much better than it used to be. What are you doing differently? So I thought it would be a fun time to just share with the folks what we're doing differently, because we have a much different setup than we did when we first started. So
we do.
I would like to start with you. What is different? Well, let me first just preface that by saying we conduct these podcasts. Did I really just say podcasts?
Podcasts.
I like that. We conduct these podcasts via long distance. Laura is on one side of the state of North Carolina, and I'm on the other side of the state of North Carolina, and we conduct them basically via iPhone. So the same way that you would conduct a three-way call on your iPhone with just two individuals, that's how we conduct our interviews. However, we use some additional equipment so that we can feed all of the input into GarageBand, which is a very simple application. I say simple, Laura, like I get it every week or something. It's a simple application in theory, difficult in practice sometimes. So we talk via iPhone, and that's how they're conducted. So Laura, what do you have on your end that kind of makes things different than what they used to be for you?
Well, sure, and I just want to say real quick that the fact that we even pull off this podcast is a miracle of modern technology, because we are on different sides of the state. But before, when we first started co-hosting, I was using a regular dumb phone. It wasn't even a smartphone. It was just a regular old everyday flip phone. And so certainly didn't have the best audio quality as far as reception goes. So I recently upgraded to an iPhone myself. And then I added a little piece of equipment. It's a little tiny microphone attachment called the iRig. And it looks kind of like an old-timey radio microphone. And I just plug it into the audio jack and plug headphones into it. And then I have my own little recording studio.
Gotcha. Now, The iRig, which one do you have? Do you have like the kind of the rectangle one that plugs into the top of the iPhone?
Yep, that's the one.
So it, if I'm not mistaken, that retails for somewhere around $30-$35.
Yeah, it really wasn't expensive at all. It was a nice little piece of equipment, and I use it all the time, actually. Now it makes like a, since I don't usually use a Bluetooth, I can use mm-hmm. it for regular phone calls.
Oh, that's cool. And if I'm not mistaken, it also could double as kind of an on-the-spot or on-the-scene sort of microphone device. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. It sure can.
Awesome, awesome. I'm really happy we found that because, remember, we were searching kind of high and low, and I mentioned that to you, but I didn't mention it to you because I had used one before. I had just seen in some blogs that, you know, folks had used them, and they were better than the Tascam models and stuff like that. So I'm glad to hear that you got it and it's working so well for you. I can tell you that on my end, you sound unbelievably more clear than you used to.
Well, when I was using a regular dumb phone, there wasn't a hope for sounding clear. There was nothing I could have done to make it better. So this is a much better setup.
Right, right. Interesting. That's so interesting. So to conduct these podcastesses on my
side,
it's a little bit more not advanced but more detailed because I'm the one that does the recording. Now, as you can tell from bloopers, blunders, and complete mispronunciations, I don't do a lot of editing. I like the organic feel of the podcast. And just for those listening, you know, we actually don't edit much of the interviews. We leave in almost everything. So it's not really fine-tuned. We don't cut a lot of stuff out and redo stuff. And Laura and I don't get together and, you know, in the middle of the night and make these great, you know, audio clips or pull out sound bites or something. We actually just keep an organic conversation. We also do not send questions to our guests prior to the recording. We just ask, we converse with them very organically off the cuff as, you know, as we meet them and talk to them. So that's why we always ask y'all, if you're out there listening and you have questions or you have ideas or you have people you want to hear from, please email us either at andodom@gmail.com. That's mine. Or you can reach Laura at?
It's lmlavoie@gmail.com.
Yeah. Reach out to one of us and let us know. We'd be happy to give it a whirl. But so on my end, I have the iPhone 4S, which means nothing to me. I don't use Siri. So basically it's just a phone. Although I make very few calls, in fact, this one phone call might pretty much be my only phone call during the week. The rest, of course, is text messaging and FaceTime. I do a lot of FaceTime because, well, let's face it, I have an unforgettable face. And so I feel like people enjoy the conversation more when they can see me saying stuff. No, really, my parents love to see me. Absolutely love it. They just love it. Mostly because I'm now in my own house and not in their house, so they really revel in that part of the conversation.
Right, it's a whole different thing when you're out of the house.
Yeah, a whole different thing. So I have an iPhone, and basically I just have a little aux jack that goes out of the top of the iPhone, and it plugs into an iMic. Now, these are no longer that popular. The iMic, I don't know why they're not that popular. They're just not, which is kind of sad to me, to be honest with you, because I'm a big fan of Griffin technology. I think that Griffin puts out some really great products. But the iMic is about $40. So basically the phone goes, the aux jack goes into, or the aux line goes into the input on the iMic. And then the output from the iMic is my headphones so that I can hear everything that's going on. I don't use anything fancy. I just use regular old earbuds. Mine happen to be JBL earbuds that fit very nicely in my ear, so I actually can hear everything that's going on. And then that iMic plugs in via USB to my MacBook Pro, which is running GarageBand the entire time that we talk. And then I speak into a blue microphone I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. I use a blue snowball microphone, which looks actually like a snowball sitting on a very small desktop tripod sort of thing, and it plugs in through the other USB. So it's very cool, and it's a nice mic for about $80. And I'm happy to say that the majority of this equipment, except for our monthly phone expenses, and then, you know, of course, the initial, actually our phones, we pay for our own phones, but the audio equipment came from the pledge drive that we did, I guess, about 5 or 6 months ago. So we're very pleased with that. And just to let you folks know, this is what you're able to do, and this is the quality you're able to get now. So thank you so much for that. And I just thought it'd be kind of cool to share with people, you know, Laura, just tell them what it is we do.
Absolutely. I think it's great to hear what we do to kind of advance our art, if you want to call it an art hobby.
Well, you
what
know,
do you want to call that?
We're it is a hobby because we don't get paid for it, because we do it at strain. We like to say we have a schedule, but I'm slowly coming to the realization, much due to myself, there is no schedule. I am forever, for those of you out there who are wondering, I'm forever emailing Laura 10 minutes before we're supposed to record and being like, I'm slammed with XYZ. I can't do it. I'm sorry. So, you know, it's one of those things. It truly is. So, at any rate, it could be classified as more than a hobby. We're on episode 59, Laura. I mean, there are podcasts that don't last more than, you know, 10 episodes before people just peter out or they feel like it's going nowhere. I don't know exactly how many people listen to us. I know how many people download the show, but iTunes doesn't let us know how many people subscribe. So I don't know how many we truly draw, but we draw mm-hmm. enough people that, you know, we get comments and people know us from the podcast and stuff like that. So it's fun for us, at least for now. And so far we haven't run out of guests. So I guess as long as those two things keep going, we'll try and do our best to bring you this podcast every week. Having said that, let's kind of move on. Laura, I want to go ahead with probably the biggest announcement to date, and probably one because it's so personal to me. You might remember last week's episode, I announced that I was going to be putting the house on the market, and or that my wife and I had decided to put our tiny house on the market. I am pleased to announce this week that after 33 hours of it being on the market, it sold for our asking price. And we are no longer the owners of the first tiny house built by Tiny Revolution.
Yeah, I saw when that happened, and it was so quick. It's so great and so amazing that you were able to find a perfect buyer for it in such a short period of time. It just proves that it was kind of meant to be.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think, you know, one of the biggest things about us selling the house, of course, was that we had decided very early on that we were not going to charge any sort of labor costs, because for much of it was more a labor of love and a labor of passion than it was actual bull labor. You know, we spent a lot more hours on things than probably we needed to, because we wanted to. It was fun mm-hmm. for us. We were learning something. We were testing things out. So it's very difficult to, for us who are not tiny house builders, who are just tiny house kind of aficionados, it's very difficult to charge people a rate for labor. So we chose just to go after our material expenses, which put the house on the market for $16,100. And a buyer came forth pretty quickly. I'm pleased to say that the buyers have the same tiny house ethos that we've maintained for years now. And they're very excited about being able to take their already compact lifestyle into what they called a more, what was the word they used? A more extravagant way. So they'll be living in the tiny house 6 months out of the year in Florida and 6 months out of the year in North Carolina. So I'm really excited about that. We've already made plans to meet them in Florida at the first of the year and see their setup with the tiny house. So that'll be interestingly cool, fun, and yet also bittersweet, of course. But it's great. You know, it really was awesome to meet them and to talk to them and to meet on so many levels. And, you know, the big question out there is, well, what do you do now? You know, you sold the Tiny Revolution. Let me just clarify this as concisely as possible, Laura. We did not sell the Tiny Revolution. The Tiny Revolution is a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's a way of thinking, living, breathing, interacting. We sold a structure that we built. That's it. We didn't sell the ideals. We didn't sell our personalities. We didn't sell our tips, tricks, and, you know, tools of the trade. We just sold a house. So, folks, Tiny Revolution is not going to go anywhere. We have new adventures that we're excited to talk to you about. And then after that, we're going to have even newer adventures. So stick with us. It's going to be a wonderful journey, just like the past 4 years has been. So there you have it, Laura. Just my little blurb.
I'm super excited about that.
Every time someone says they're excited about it, I want to say it so quickly back. I want to say, yeah, me too. But, you know, there's all, when you sell a house, when you sell a car, whatever, there's always a small amount of fear, because most people don't have a house waiting for them, or a car waiting for them, or, you know, a, you name it, waiting for them. We don't, sure. I mean, we have our adventure and our travel trailer, sure, and we're thankful for that. But it's not like we know really what is next. We're just kind of going with it right now. So I'm excited that the house is going to a couple that shares so much of what we believe in. That's the cool part. So, hey, I am excited too. I'm excited. There you have it. I'm excited. I would say woohoo, but then it would mess up the audio levels and we'd have to edit and it would just get crazy.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. I want to talk about something else real quick. It has come to my attention via a couple people in the tiny house community and also via some press briefings. They announced on February 3rd, and which, you know, makes us way late in the game, but here it is. It's coming up. The White House is having its first Makers Faire. Are you aware of this?
I have recently heard about this.
I mean, I think that's pretty incredible. For those people who, you know, have no idea what what the Makers Faire is. Basically, it's a celebration of makers, innovators, entrepreneurs, inventors, people who are ready to make a difference in the world that they live in. And so the White House is hosting a Maker Faire. And, I think it's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about it. And I'm especially, did I just say especially? I think I did. I'm especially excited about it. Because one of our own tiny housers is going to be present at Makers Faire, and not present as in, oh, look, I bought a ticket and I'm going to go. Present as in they have been asked to present at this Makers Faire, and that is Miss Cicely Kolbeck, who at 14 years old has now officially become the media darling of tiny houses, as well as the poster teen for Shut Up and Quit Making Excuses for Yourself and Do Something.
Absolutely.
So she is going to be toting her house to the White House. So she's taking the tiny house to the White House. The White House goes tiny. The tiny White House.
But it's the tiny blue house.
You know what I mean, right?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's going to be awesome. Whatever you think about our current administration, I don't really care, because a tiny house is going to be present at that, and a tiny house that's made by a teenager who quite possibly could, look back on her life as a life that was spent daring to try something different. So, I'm very excited for. I can't wait to hear after the fact, you know, how it went down. I'm curious as to, like, how many hipsters she meets while she's there. it'll be interesting to see if she grows a beard while she's there and wears, like, a completely ironic t-shirt.
Right.
You know, all of those things that we know Makers Faires to be. So I'm excited to hear from her, and I hope this is just the beginning of something very cool in our nation's government in terms of looking forward by looking to our past, you know?
Right, absolutely.
So that's pretty cool. So Laura, tell me, what have you been up to? You wrote a great post this past week on what you've done over your summer vacation, even though most people didn't realize it was summer vacation yet. So what have you been up to?
Well, you know, I have kind of taken a break from the blogging. Not a ton, but a little bit. I've been stepping back from it because it was such a cold winter that finally, now that the sun's out, I just want to be outside as much as possible. So I have been doing some amazing stuff this past weekend. I went tubing with a bunch of friends down the French Broad River. It was 5.5 hours on the river with some rum punch and some beer. And it was a great, great day.
I'm concerned now about tubing while intoxicated.
I thought that was the only way you can tube.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, it might be the only way to tube. Yeah. Well, you know, I remember when I was probably 8 or 9 years old, my dad and mom took my siblings and I, and then one friend apiece, to the James River in Virginia to go tubing down the James. And I can remember a group of college kids, which I thought were oh so cool. They had a tube in the middle of them, which was the cooler tube. And you put,
oh yeah,
it was designed like with bungees or something to put a cooler in the middle. And I kept, my parents, you know, when I kept asking them, why do they have a cooler? And my mom kept telling me it was for their tuna fish sandwiches.
So that's what they were calling it.
Yeah, that's what they were calling it. Little do they know that here I am as an adult simply endorsing the partaking of tuna fish sandwiches.
Well, I will tell you that our cooler, or our tube, we bought a double tube, and it actually has a cooler in the middle,
now
built in to the tube.
Now that's a cool cooler.
It is.
A cool cooler. We're going to go tubing soon. You know, it's our daughter's still a little young to hop in the tube by herself. She would have to tube with one of us, which is totally possible. But I think her attention span might be a little too short to really enjoy what Crystal and I would probably turn into, like, an all-day tubathon.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we thought that our trip was going to be 3 hours, but it turned out to be 5.5. So, yeah, if somebody didn't have the attention span for that, it could go horribly wrong.
Yeah, totally, totally. But it sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm curious now to know what other people are going to do this summer, because, you know, there's so many possibilities and so many great ways to spend a summer. I fully intend to spend much of my summer. Actually, you know, I'm going to put this out there to the universe and let the universe decide, but I've decided to spend a lot of my summer helping other people do ridiculous things. Like, I've committed to helping my wife's mentor, who lives in the next town over, to keeping her grass edged and cut. And I'm going to help my father-in-law build a porch swing and a couple things like that. All outdoor projects, but things that I would like to do, that I would like to spend my time doing, you know, helping some other people do stuff. And it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, look how good I am, or, you know, self-righteous sort of thing. It's just something I want to do. So we'll see how it all
works.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Totally. And, you know, that's kind of what the tiny house thing is about in a lot of ways. It's about reinvesting your time and realizing to, you know, for yourself, what your time is worth. And my time is worth a lot more than money. I make a good salary doing what I do. So, now mind you, I'm not rich, but I make a good salary to support my family doing what I do. So my time really is something that I can give people that means a whole lot more. So I'm pretty excited about that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. But anyway, so today, look, we're going to be interviewing. This is strange. This whole tiny house dating thing is strange to me. and it's only strange because it's like, are you dating a tiny house, or is it a tiny house person date? I mean, when you just say the name of it, it's kind of creepy. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's one of those shows you'd see on like TLC or something, you know, like what is that one that grosses me out? It's called like Sex Sent Me to the Emergency Room or something.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I can't watch that.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand why that show was ever greenlighted. It seems like a waste of production quality. And I'm just assuming it has production quality. I don't know. It might be the worst movie ever. Or the worst show ever. I don't know. Although it can't be any worse than that Alaska Bushman show who was talking? Kai Roscheck, who we're actually interviewing today. I hope I remember to ask him about that. He made some mention about it this week, about Alaska Bushmen and how it might interest people who want to live in a small community with their family and stuff. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out where he was coming from with that. And I thought, okay, whatever, dude. Whatever. I mean, they've developed like their own language. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's just bizarre. I can't get behind it. I refuse to get behind it, y'all. Refuse. So
that is okay.
Yeah, so we're interviewing Tiny House Dating, and it's not just Kai, it's Erica Brewer as well, who is like, Erica Brewer is one of those chicks who's like a full package. She's smart, she's like an Ivy League grad, she's got business experience behind her, she's attractive, she, you know, is friendly and funny. So it'll be interesting to find out why she spends time with Kai. It'll also be interesting to see, you know, how she came to Tiny Houses, because, you know, like many of us, she just kind of showed up one day. And so you always want to know how these folks show up and how they get to where they're going. So I'm excited to hear from her, or to talk to her rather, and hear more about her. So, you know, I've said all that. So why don't we do it? Why don't we just jump right to it? And let's see if we can get them on the line, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Kai, Erica, are you there?
We are here.
We're totally here.
That's awesome. Laura, are you still there? Because you know I have a habit of just leaving you high and dry.
No, I am really still here.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, Laura, today is the most absurd interview we've ever done. And it's because we're not actually using our equipment today. We're recording. Well, we sent our standard request for interview to Kai and Erica of tinyhousedating.com. And for those of you who don't know that, that's www.tinyhousedating.com, D-A-T-I-N-G.com. We sent them our standard kind of, hey, you want to chat with us? And what did we get back but an invite from them saying, hey, yeah, call this number. I'm like, what? It's our show. What do you mean, call your number?
It's like this. You're so, like, hey, does anybody want to have a party? And we're like, yeah, we get the bonfire. We get the craft beer. Come on over. We're good to go. Come on. Party's starting.
So here we are.
So we've been hijacked, is what you're saying.
We have been hijacked. This is, you know what? We're going to be on Fox News probably because of this. The Revo Combo hijacked online. Interesting. So look, so we're here with Kai and Erica. They are not Kai and Erica as in like Kanye and Kim, because then of course they would be like Carica, or they would be like Erikai or something like that. But instead they are two separate. Yes, they are two separate people. Hey, Laura, what would our name be? Like, what would our hybrid be? Would we be Lou, or would we be like Drara?
You'd be like Landru.
I like Landru. Landru. That's pretty awesome. Okay, welcome to the Revo Combo with Landru. So we're here with Kai, stop, and Erica, stop, of Tiny House Dating, which is one of the fastest growing sites on the internet in the Tiny House community. And it's probably one of the most fascinating, and not just because it's got a picture of my wife and I on its front page, because they advertise, get this, Laura, meet someone special. That's what they advertise, meet someone special. Now, I'm curious about this meet someone special because, to my opinion, I'm already taken. So I don't know what everybody else on the site is going to be doing.
So everyone else is out of luck.
It's like falling off a cliff. There's a huge drop-off, Andrew, between you and everybody else. But there are still some cool people on the site. There's, for example, there's a woman who does community service with a group of friends, dressed in a suit. They all dress up in superhero costumes. She's got a logo of Lake Superior on the back. Like, and she goes on to say, oh, and by the way, I built my own tiny house in 2011. I live on like 100 acres, and I have no problem going off in the wilderness by myself. But, you know, if there's a cool single dude out there who wants to join me, okay. I'm like, all right, so maybe there's room for relationships outside of Andrew and Crystal. That's cool.
So check this out, Matt. What you just described pretty much was like one of Laura's hobbies. She's like a dragathon person. Or drag. How do you even pronounce that? They're like furries. She's like a furry.
I'm not a furry. I promise you that.
Is there a whole different tiny website. House dating for furries? Like,
you know what? I'll put in your. I've had requests for people to put in. It used to be I'm a man looking for a woman, or I'm a woman looking for a man. And people were like, no, wait, we're a couple, or, you know, looking for a couple, or maybe I'm a man looking for a man or a woman, vice versa. So if you guys want me to add in furries, whatever. I mean, this is a totally open opportunity. We love alternative lifestyles. Bring it.
I'm down with whatever your site's down with, for sure.
your picture's on it, so that's cool.
My picture is on it. I can see it now. One day when I'm running for president, they'll dig this site up and be like, oh, remember when you were advertising for furry love? Whatever. So look, I'm looking at the site. Kai, give me like the 30-second elevator pitch on this tiny house dating thing.
Yeah, so tiny house dating does one thing extremely well, and that's it. So it's really minimalist in a way. All it does is filter and says, you know what, we're bringing together a group of people who have shared values. So what it turns out, and Erica can share a story about this actually, is you might not necessarily marry the first person you talk to on the site, but the chances are really, really good that you're going to have a good connection and a lot of authentic things to talk about and like hanging out with that person, which is totally different than the experience I had been reading about in several different forums online when somebody loves the fact that they're building their own tiny house. They love the fact that they're choosing their lifestyle, but they can't find people on dating sites who can wrap their heads around that at all. So they felt really isolated, and I was like, well, let's try a dating site and see what happens, not having any idea that it would take off the way it has.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scrolling through right now while you talk to me. I'm scrolling literally through, you know, pages and pages of profiles, and I am taken aback at, you know, how many people have posted up here, and you know, pretty attractive people, pretty diverse sort of people, you know. So I think that's very cool, Erica. I'm interested how you fit into this, because, you know, I didn't know about you until I saw you online, and I was like, oh, Kai hired a model to, like, you know, do this thing, that's cool, you know, whatever. So, Erica, how do you fit in? Like, are you actually a tiny house person, or do you exist, actually?
I do exist, and I'm slowly finding my way into a tiny house. I mean, like a lot of people, it comes down to dollars and cents, you know, right time, right place. I've moved around quite a bit, probably 7 to 8 different states in the past 10 years, and I kind of reverse downsized. I was forced to do it, and then when I figured out, oh, wait a minute, I'm a minimalist technically, and I like this, you know, how does this apply to the bigger picture? And for me, it was, you know, tiny houses. Right now, I'm living for the summer in northern New York in a 500-square-foot bungalow, I guess is what I'll call it, and I'm hoping to be living tiny, possibly mobile living in an RV by this fall. It's really up in the air, and that's kind of been my life. But, you know, in terms of tiny house dating, I met Kai when I was in Boston. I was running a tiny house meetup group, and he was like, well, you know, why don't we do something? why don't we start some trouble? And I said, you know, tell me more.
That was probably my exact phrase.
You know,
actually,
there's a lot to be said for a girl who's pitched the idea of let's start some trouble, and her response is, tell me more.
I know. I'm hearing you say that, Erica, and I'm like, I gotta start using that in my own dating life. That seems to work.
Yeah, that's like pretty awesome right there. In fact, I'm gonna start using that with my wife when she's like, hey, let's get crazy. I'm gonna be like, tell me more.
Right. It works. I endorse that. Definitely do it.
That's awesome. So, Kai, I am still, like, the entire time we're talking, I'm still flipping through. I had no idea there were this many people looking for love in all the small spaces.
Nice.
Wow.
Well done.
Wow.
We're going to start the Tiny House Dating playlist. That's on it now, dude.
Absolutely.
Well, look, if I do nothing else, it's bring lyrics to the show. I've got some mad lyrical skill, and I like to share it with the masses. And
well, we've got
that's
a bunch of musicians too, right? So
yeah,
we could just
have you
throw down some lyrics.
Yeah. We see every week on our show a decrease in listeners, and I'm pretty sure it's directly proportional to how much singing I do on the show. It's interesting. So, you said, Kai, that this was, it was just simple. It was a simple sort of concept. So when you were creating the site and you were thinking, okay, this is something we want to focus on, people who kind of get the tiny lifestyle, the small lifestyle, that sort of stuff. Answer me this question, though. Do you have to be a tiny houser or already in the tiny house community to sign up for a profile on Tiny House Dating?
Yeah, so that's awesome. Where I'm at really is I believe that the tiny house movement is about to go to mainstream. And, you know, the business side of me really thinks pragmatically, and as you know, Andrew, I did a lot of research, did an article for Tiny House Magazine on the shifting demographics of the tiny house movement. I truly do believe it's driven by two things. One is socioeconomics. And, you know, that's it for a different conversation. But the net is anybody listening to this podcast gets it. The world's changing. We got to find better solutions that are more pragmatic. And then there's also the side that's based on values, which is, you know, I want a different kind of life. I don't want to be tied to the rat race, even if I could get a good job and live in, you know, a big house. I want freedom. Like, you know, I think it's characterized really well, to answer your question directly about do you have to live in a tiny house. There's one of our members who lives on a 41-foot solar-powered boat, right? And his plan is, like, within a year he's going to shove off and travel around the world, and he just wants to go explore new places, and he wants meaningful, intelligent conversation. I'm like, dude, he gets it. Like, it's about a lifestyle. It's about values. It's about choosing companionship and connection and community and freedom over this is the big stuff that holds us down. So the direct answer is no, you don't have to either live in a tiny house or even have plans to live in a tiny house. What it's attracting are people who have values based on freedom, flexibility, maybe economic responsibility, and that can show up in a lot of different ways. But that goes to my hope, that goes back to the whole point, is this one simple filter creates a pool of people that you'd probably have a great conversation with or become immediate friends with. And then from there, if that turns into a romance, how cool is that? Now you're falling in love with somebody that you really started liking first. I'm digging that.
Right. Yeah, that is very cool. And, you know, I think that's one of the things when I see some of the more mainstream dating sites, one of the things I'm kind of turned off by is this idea of, oh, well, we do, you know, we're the only ones that do the 101 personality test or something like that. Dude, I can fill in blanks with the best of them. I mean, that's, you know, part of the reason I have an issue with social media is, you know, it is a profile that is built by you. It's built by you to show the best of you. And, you know, what I'm seeing in these profiles is while they give a good description of the folks there, you know, in the profile, they don't go into this great detail about, you know, horseback rides on the beach and that sort of stuff. I mean, I think the one that I've seen the most is like people who are into like vegan juicing and kombucha and stuff like that, which I'm like, oh, geez, you know, I can't get down with kombucha at all. So, gosh. Wait a second.
That's too bad because I think like you had this real good budding romance at one point before Crystal, but she suggested you go to a kombucha bar, and it was all over at that point, right?
That's exactly right. She was like, "Hey, let's talk solar panels," and I was like, "Tell me more."
Yeah.
So yeah, totally. So Erica, from your standpoint, so you're I was just about to say relatively, but that's a horrible word in this conversation. It's like almost a derogatory term. I was going to say, you're a relatively attractive young woman. You are an attractive young woman. Relatively would be horribly misplayed.
Thank you.
So here you are on the site. What I'm interested in is you are still very much a social person. I've seen your Facebook. I see all the activities and the friends you have and all that sort of stuff. What does a site like this do for you in terms of allowing you to meet people that just get it, that you know, to where you're not going to the bar on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights and you know, headed to the meat market and wearing your little black dress and all that sort of stuff? Not that, you know, I have anything against that, sure, whatever. But, you know what I'm saying? What about this site is different enough for you to want to work with Kai to bring this resource to other people?
You know, a lot of it has been just in when I was managing the meetup group, it was hearing people's stories and their experiences. And when I met Kai, you know, when he, you know, suggested the trouble to me, I really heard him out. And that was the heart of what he wanted to do, was to connect people, connect those stories and experiences. So for me, the buy-in is definitely a chance to talk to these people. You know, we've been doing a lot since our Indiegogo campaign for featured profiles, and I've just heard the coolest stuff. Now, in terms of dating, I'm actually not in the dating pool right now. I'm in a fairly long-term relationship, but if I was dating, I would love this site because I hate the idea of a bar. I hate the idea of being hit on. It's all kind of cheesy to me. So if I could, you know, instantly rule out all of that, for lack of a better word, crap, I would immediately sign up. Not just because I love tiny houses, but I like the idea of, you know, a lot of those sites, they're just hookup sites. And I think we really branded ourselves to be something different.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do have to say you kind of just composted on mine and Laura's relationship. That's how we met. I was drunk at a bar and she was flirting with me, and she said to me, "Hey, let's do a podcast." And I said, "Tell me more." And so here we are doing a podcast. And but I love what you're saying. I love the fact that because I even though I haven't, you know, done a lot with the actual meetup organization or even been part of too many meetups, I have gone to one or two meetups for various reasons. And I think it's what you're saying is really interesting, you know, that segue between kind of that face-to-face interaction that happens at a meetup and a site where you can represent yourself in the same fashion without feeling like, you know, just a piece of dating meat, if you will. Although when you've been married as long as Laura and I have, two separate people, of course, it's refreshing to feel like a piece of meat every once in a while. Sometimes I'll go out and I'll be like, please, just look at me like meat with just hunger in your eyes. I totally see the allure. Laura, I'm curious as to what your thoughts are. Like, seriously, if this were, you know, if we were 20 years younger and didn't have significant others, would you pop on the site and throw a profile up?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking about that. You know, I was thinking about how people have always asked Matt and me for advice on dating, and we just don't have any. We've been together since we were 20 years old. And I don't know how to date. That baffles me. I don't know how you're supposed to do that. Having tiny house dating is something I can actually tell people. Like, here's a place you can go, because it's not a bar. It's not a meat market. It's like-minded people interested in meeting one another. So if I were in that space, I would totally sign up.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Andrew, you mentioned something. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say no one ever asks me for dating advice, and I'm not sure why. I need to really spend some time with that thought. So y'all just talk amongst yourselves while I try and figure out why no one asks me for dating advice.
So, Andrew, you had mentioned when you were asking Laura that previous question that your lead-in was asking her, if we were 20 years younger, that kind of stuff, right, based on the fact that you guys have both been in longstanding relationships. But it did prompt me. One of the things that I think is really cool that I'd love to share about the site is the demographics just blow my mind. You know, like, it's kind of proof to me that this movement is moving out of a do-it-yourself cottage, haha, pun intended, industry, into something that really resonates not just in the States but worldwide and across lots of demographics. So we've got members on the site that are, our youngest members are 18, our oldest members are in their 70s. right? I love that. We've got a lot of core, as you might imagine, in the U.S., but we've got members from Canada, Germany, U.K., Ireland, South America, Australia, Nepal. I mean, it's just nuts. And what that – the reason I want to bring that up is because, like, I feel like this massive shift in my own awareness happening as I'm getting to kind of virtually know some of our members by looking at their profiles. And what it is, and I love the grounding here, is in the rest of the world – a lot of people are really used to living at a smaller scale than we have in America for the last 50 years. So, you know, there's all of a sudden when we create this pool of this community of people who kind of raise their hand and say, hey, I like things like living on a boat or living small and traveling, they're resonating with people all over the world. And it's going to be so cool to be able to answer the question eventually, like, how far would you go for love? This actually came up when Kent did a blog post for us when we first launched the site. And one of the readers responded in. She said, hey, I'm from Canada. I met somebody from Wyoming, and we had to figure out how are we going to make this work. But we did. So now they've got, like, his and hers tiny houses. And I just think it's so cool to imagine the possibilities and see what people are going to come up with to live their own lives.
Yeah. You know, you caught on to where I was inadvertently heading because I really did want to make that point. And that was actually one of the reasons. There is method behind my madness sometimes. A lot of people don't get it, but there is. And I wanted to talk about the fact that not just the demographics, but you don't have to be a certain age to participate in something like this. You know, if you – when you think about, when an 18-year-old thinks about Match.com or something like that, which, by the way, Match.com, you can pay me now for saying your name to all of our readers. you know, when an 18-year-old thinks about something like that, I seriously doubt they think about it being something that they can be down with, you know, something that will help them, or, you know, they think of it as being old-fashioned, or maybe it's for, you know, what are they called? What are those women called? Spinsters, you know, for spinsters or something like that. But truth of the matter is the tiny house community in general, I would like to say, you know, in my experience, transcends all demographic lines anyway. You know, you never do realize who you're talking to passive solar energy about, you know, whether they're a 50-year-old crazy lady who raises goats, or, you know, they're an 18-year-old guy who's in the middle of his undergrad program at, you know, an overpriced college or something like that. Or, like, you know, like I've been known to do, someone who's sitting in a bar drinking beers and typing on his phone to respond to some of those things. But the point of the matter is that the site does appeal to so many different people, and I'm glad to see it. Really functioning in that capacity, and also functioning in the capacity that you wanted it to function. So many people start a website and it just heads in its own direction, and they go, "What? What just happened? This is not what I ever envisioned." You know, which I'm kind of thinking if you go the furry
route,
that's actually
a great point,
you may end up having that conversation with yourself.
So I have, actually. So because we already basically experienced our first version of that, and the next version's coming up. So, you know, keep in mind, when I built this, it was back of the napkin, you know, and I was just pitching Erica on this concept that I had just really started mapping out based on some of the blogs I had been reading. You know, I built the site for $50 WordPress theme and $5 a month hosting. And it was free. I figured it's going to be my hobby. I'll pay $5 a month to keep it running after I put about 4 to 6 weeks in developing it. Fine, no problem. I didn't have any idea that we'd generate 1.3 million hits in 6 days. Like, that didn't even come close to my wildest imagination. So
now
what happened?
Let me interrupt you for a second. Do you think that is, you know, primarily just out of curiosity, or do you see the numbers of people signing up for profiles being directly proportional to that number of that, you know, that traffic?
Both. There's a lot of curiosity, a lot of voyeurs, and we see this in the video world all the time. YouTube videos on tiny houses have been watched over 30 million times, but there aren't nearly that many people who actually have tiny houses, right? So there is this voyeuristic aspect. I love it. Jay Schaefer says, and I think Kirsten's video, We Are the Tiny House People, he says, you know, we sell more books than
right.
tiny houses. What we're doing is we're selling the dream. So I think there's something
yeah.
about the idea of freedom in a smaller lifestyle that really appeals to people, even if they're not ready to commit yet. And
sure,
we had
sure.
massive membership spike at that point. So much so that we actually had to take the site offline for a while and rebuild it. And Erica alluded to the community-driven Indiegogo campaign that we did and that kind of stuff. But I did learn mm-hmm. that lesson that you were talking about, which is this thing's going to go in its own direction. And I'm actually really, really cool with that, with one exception. I want the site to be whatever the community wants it to be as long as it stays authentic, right? As
right,
long as
right.
it really is rooted in values around connection, community, living the kind of life you want to, which for me personally includes giving back, that's
mm-hmm.
cool. Then the site can go and do whatever it wants. And we're going to
yeah.
actually hit our next threshold soon, because we're signing an agreement with a company who approached us about turning tiny house dating into, wait for it, a reality TV show. And so I can actually feel that sour feeling in your stomach, right? Like turning over going, no, come on, really?
I'm sorry, we're losing connection. That's awesome. That's one more reason for me not to get cable ever again.
No, dude, don't worry. We'll syndicate it. We'll put it online. Think about this,
yes.
right? Again, as long as
it
stays authentic. So here's the concept, though, right? You take a couple of people who look like they could be a really match and would be interested in dating each other. You put them in a five-day experience with a builder who helps them build their tiny house. Obviously, they got a crew to do it. And along the way, they got to make a big decision, like a lot of decisions about the style of the house, the fixtures, that kind of stuff. They also set each other up to go on a date, you know, the his date, the her date, or the his, her, whatever that looks like. And then at the end of the week, they get to decide if they want to stay together. And if they decide to, they get the house. So people come to the site with this aspiration that they want to live in a tiny house, with this aspiration
mm-hmm.
that they want to fall in love. So the show, in hopefully an authentic and not drama-created way, gives them an opportunity to open that door and say, this could be five of the most amazing days of your life. And at the end of it,
oh, yeah.
if you're really synced up with somebody that you love, like that you think you could fall in love with, you get the choice mm-hmm. to say yes and figure that out for yourselves.
Okay,
let's take a
side trip on this real quick. I'm thinking, okay, tiny house, 5 days, person you may want to have a relationship with, you're attracted to, whatever. You ready for this, Laura?
I'm ready.
What are they going to do when the other person has to poop?
Bathroom intimacy. There you go,
I
man.
Tiny house question.
I can remember when Crystal and I were dating, it was like, I mean, I would almost run out the door down to the restaurant down the street to poop before I would allow that vulnerability to enter into the space. You know, and then furthermore, if it is using a composting system, who then will empty the composting containers during said 5 days?
That is great.
I think we're talking about two different shows here. We're talking about the tiny house dating reality show, and then we're talking about the tiny house dating how it really is show.
I think there is that's a whole separate website. It's you know, Erica and I abbreviate. We just call tiny house dating THD a lot of times, and I think that sounds like THP. Like we're gonna have you know, the behind the scenes, real bathroom intimacy version of Tiny House World.
Oh, yeah. You haven't lived until you're brushing your teeth and a smell enters into your nasal passage that you know can only be from one thing. And you're like, what? What is happening here? This is not right. I didn't sign up for this. The other thing I'm curious about, you know, I'm thinking the show could just be downright hilarious because you do want to play it sexy and cool because, you know, you want them to be attracted to you, especially if you're attracted to them. But there are, like, an enormous amount of obstacles when you're in a tiny house. I mean, I'm almost willing to say, hey, let's just forget building a tiny house and just put people in prison cells with each other for 5 days. with just a creep of light coming in through the cinder block window. And then let's ask them to do all the typical normal bodily functions during that 5 days. That is, I think it's cool, man, because here's the thing. Here's the thing about tiny house dating that I think is the coolest. It's just real. Like, there's not a whole lot of space on the site. And again, if you're just joining us for this conversation, please rewind about a half hour and pick us up where we started. We're talking to Kai and Erica of tinyhousedating.com. That's TinyHouseDating.com. The link will be in the blog post corresponding with this recording. But if you're just picking up with us, we're talking about tiny house dating. And what I like about the site, Kai, is there's not a whole lot of room to hide. It's not a whole lot of, you don't have ads on the side very much. You don't have, you know, a lot of text that just, you know, fills up random places. You do have a blog, which is always very relevant blog posts. And I think they're very interesting. They always have something to do with the idea of tiny house dating. You have some interesting stories and that sort of thing. So I think that's my biggest thing is I like the way it's very authentic. You are who you are. And I think with the questions that you prompt people and then the space you give them to answer it, you know, if they're not truly authentic with their answers, they'll be sniffed out pretty quick.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing there, too, is one of the things when the site blew up, based on in part on the series of articles that came out with Outside Magazine and then Yes and Grist and eventually Yahoo Finance, I did figure out really quickly that if you offer people a free dating site, guess what happens? Anybody and everybody
they join.
Up for it. They join, right? So to that point, we actually did need to create a filter for the sake of maintaining the authenticity of the community. And this is one that's a little bit sore subject for people when they look over it and don't get it. So I'd actually really like to explain it. The site now does have paid memberships and a free membership option, right? That and a free membership option is really important to me. So again, I want the community to do with the site what they want to do with it. So now we've got some expenses because it's actually a real website. So we give people the option of signing up with the exact same feature set for either a 1 month, 3 month, or 6 month membership. And obviously, as with the rest of the internet world, the cost per month goes down when you sign up for a longer membership. And there's a scholarship option, which is if you want to join and you're not financially able to do so right now, you will never be excluded, period, end of conversation. Nobody ever.
That's
nobody
awesome.
Ever
That's awesome.
Will be excluded from the site because they can't pay for it. So all they have to do is email us and say, I'd like a membership to Tiny House Dating, and here's why. That in itself is a perfect – it's turning out to be a perfect filter because nobody who doesn't belong is going to bother going through that effort to try to create a sales pitch, right? The people that are coming in are awesome and will renew it as long as they need to. And then at someday, when they're in a better position, they can choose the six-month membership, which we call Pay It Forward, that gives us a little bit more flexibility to continue offering these scholarships. So the community is basically, you know, some people are taking advantage and some people are giving because they can. And I think it just works out really, really well.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's a really, really cool thing. Because you're saying, look, this is a great website and we want you to be part of it, and here's what we're doing to make sure you're part of it. And it goes back to that sort of tiny house ethos of helping out other people, of making your life substantial so that other people are rewarded by, you know, what you're doing. I think that's very, very cool. I was going to say something, and it totally just escaped my mind. That's what happens. I forget these things. Hey, Laura, go ahead and fill in for me because I have no idea what I was going to say.
Well, you know, I don't actually have anything to fill in. I think this has been a fabulous conversation about the whole idea of, you know, bringing shared values, you know, people with shared values into the same space. And, you know, I love that it doesn't have to be tiny houses that brings you together. It's just that value of wanting to live deliberately, wanting to live simply.
Laura. I have a few personal friends that have joined the site, which I was so excited about. And one of them had a really just tumultuous dating history. You know, things always ended in chaos and she'd end up with, you know, some not so great guys. And she went on a date, you know, met a guy on the site, and it wasn't a crash and burn scenario. You know, they didn't work out, but it wasn't this huge battle at the end, you know, and I think it boils right back down to the authenticity and the community we're creating and the shared values that it kind of rules out the the outliers, and it makes it a little bit easier to still have a great relationship, you know, be it love or be it something else.
Yeah. I have a question, Erica and Kai, for the development of the site in future. We're kind of wrapping up on our time here, but I do want to ask this. In future iterations of the site, do you foresee there being a place where folks can leave comments about each other or a rating site or anything like that? Because, you know, if somebody goes out with somebody or somebody talks to somebody or somebody corresponds with somebody and they're just a real bad nut, is there a way currently where the webmaster can be contacted or where a review can be left or something like that that would help people really monitor themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, as the site scales up, we'll have to do something that we have more user-enabled functionality. Right now, if it were a one-on-one scenario, users can block each other if they're getting kind of, let's say, you know, unrequested or undesired communications. We
right.
will definitely be rebuilding the site at some point for more of, you know, in the corporate world, what they would call an enterprise look and feel. I mean, when you get the kind of traffic
sure.
we are, we need to upgrade the core, and we will. And when we do that, we'll include some additional functionality that's going to be behind the scenes. It's not going to radically alter the minimalistic feel. For example,
right.
we'll improve our search functionality a little bit to give people, you know, within X number of miles rating. We'll also
Absolutely.
Give people the opportunity that's been requested multiple times to see when somebody's online and or the last time they actually logged in. So they can really get a sense of how active is this member, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always going to want to let it be pretty lean and really be driven by people's desire to connect with other people rather than
yeah.
look how cool this functionality is. And that's driven out of my own experience. This whole thing started a long time ago. I was on OkCupid, and I filled out like 400 questions, and somebody came up who was a 98% match, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see who this is. Like, really, a 98% match? That's unheard of. And it turns out I know her through my community. Like, I know her personally.
Oh, wow.
I can't stand her. Can't stand that person. So I was like, there's something really missing in this technical algorithm that's supposed to be creating a match. How about we just put on the filter of, do we have similar values? Would we like to have a conversation? And start there.
Yeah. Great, mm-hmm. great. Well, look, Kai, to kind of wrap up our conversation today, I just want to ask you if you can give us a real quick rundown. How can someone get on the site and create their profile to start looking for a match today?
Yeah, it's really easy. Just go to tinyhousedating.com, click on register, select a plan. If you need a scholarship, it gives you our email address to email in Weston request it. Otherwise, you go through the PayPal process. You go back and you're dropped onto your profile page where you upload a photo, drop in a description, save it, and start browsing and messaging other members.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So easy. Well, Kai and Erica, I want to thank you all for joining us today on the Revo Convo. I don't think we've had an interview segment quite like this before because what we're starting to see, and I think Laura will agree because she and I have talked about it before, is we're starting to see the tiny house community move beyond just building houses with sleeping lofts. We're starting to see how it becomes a light and an actual livelihood and an actual existence. And so this is just another affirmation to that, that people who are interested in truly sustainable lives are finding their way out of the fringe into the mainstream so that sites like Tiny House Dating can help them find someone that they may, you know, just as little as enjoy a coffee with one afternoon all the way to, you know, becoming mates for a long time. So thank you both for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely.
Okay, Laura, so it turns out that after talking with them, I now realize it's not about dating actual housing structures. It's about two people, so that's encouraging to know.
That's much better.
Yeah, much better. So, hey, thank you so much again for another great podcast episode. Next week, I guess we'll be hitting up on episode 60, which kind of makes us, like, almost able to collect Social Security on this podcast. So
very, very close, yes.
Yeah. So I hope you have a great week, Laura, and we'll see you next week, episode 60 of the Revo Convo.
We'll talk to you then.
Bye-bye.